I'm already having too much fun here. I'm sitting next to an icon. This is Leah Thompson. You, of course, know her from classics, Back to the Future, Red Dawn, Some Kind of Wonderful, All the Right Moves, Howard the Duck. I'm going to ask you about that later. But she is busier now than ever before. Well, maybe. Yeah, she's busier now than ever. You saw her earlier this year co-starring in Sarah Burgess is a Loser on Netflix. I loved that so much. Cute. Oh, my God. We loved it in our family. If you haven't watched it, watch it. You've also seen her co-starring and directing with her daughters, Madeline and Zoe Deutsch. We had Zoe in earlier this year, the lovely girls, in the Year of Spectacular Men. And now she is heading up the cast as the matriarch,
again,
as the mom, in a modern retelling of the classic Little Women. It is in theaters September 28th, and it is the 150th anniversary of the book, right?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Louisa May Alcott rides again.
OG.
So she is the OG of women writing for women.
Women's stories. I want to ask you about this because it feels like I've seen in my own lifetime, it's one of those stories that every generation kind of discovers it anew. Mm-hmm. And last year we had an adaptation of it on Masterpiece in the BBC. We have another adaptation coming out with Greta Gerwig.
And Meryl Streep.
And you're in the zeitgeist now, Leah. What is it about this story that we keep coming back to?
It's a great novel. And it deserves to be reborn. And this is a very interesting way to do it because she updated it. It's set in this time. Claire, our director, writer, she sets it right now. And I think that's a really lovely thing because, you know, what's great is to take something and make it relevant. And I think even in the way that Claire made the movie, it's very impressionistic. It plays with time. It's beautifully shot. The DP was a wonderful woman, DP, and she did a beautiful job making it feel not like a Hallmark movie or not like some kind of musty old tale, but makes it feel really of now. But the idea that you tell a woman's story from a woman's perspective is extremely new. I mean, I did all my ingenue parts that I did in the 80s were all written by older men. It was all male gazing, even just like to try the perfect woman. Even Red Dawn, John Milius's idea of a perfect woman was messy hair and an AK-47. You know, I mean, it was always stories about women told, written by men. So that's why this is really important. And it's also really important that this movie was made by women, you know, and conceived by women. Because, well, for many reasons, but it's also, I think what Louisa May Alcott did that was so interesting was that each one of the sisters is kind of all put together, they kind of make the perfect women that we're all trying to be. Mm-hmm. You know, have a career, make a family, be an artist, you know, all those things. But I think she kind of created all different types of women, and it felt really real that they would all learn how to support each other.
And be integrated into this kind of holistic.
Yes, holistic is a good idea.
I was so interested watching it because I know the story. I grew up with it. It's one of the first novels that really spoke to me as a young woman. And watching it and seeing that some of the dialogue is straight out of the original, the scenes straight out of the original, and it doesn't feel not fresh at all. It doesn't feel like it's lifted from something 150 years old. This story, almost line for line, as it was told 150 years ago, feels really modern and fresh.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
I love that you feel that way.
Yeah.
Go Claire.
Go Claire. It's like little bits of dialogue or even like the little reference to Joe's hair getting ruined. It's all like still feels really fresh. I mean, they're looking at their phones and they're Skyping instead of writing letters. Mm-hmm. But other than that, these battles, these challenges that women face really remain the same. As you say, it's like, how am I going to have a career? How am I going to be a good mother? How am I going to be a good friend? All of these things, we're still dealing with it.
And that, you know, when I saw Hamilton, what struck me about Hamilton was that the fact that they used this colorblind casting and they did it in rap, what that did was really remind you that these people were revolutionaries. These people were immigrants. These people were different. They were, you know, and when we look back on the dollar bills and we see those guys, we're like, they were all old guys. Like, no, these were, and that's what updating something can do, to just jar your brain, that as much as we've changed, we've stayed the same. You know, that we all just want to live and love and be comfortable and warm and happy and have a safe family and health care and rights and the ability to live our life
and
the way we want.
Bodily autonomy.
And the power over our own bodies. And, you know, these things haven't changed and they won't change.
Yeah.
And that's why it's cool to update these things. And what I had to confront, which I think is really interesting, is for me in the book, Joe is revolutionary, but kind of in this, her sister wants to just be married and have a family. She has the big, strong speech, you know, like, this is what I want. And what I think is so important, and I felt this way about my movie, The Year of Spectacular Men, that I directed, what I think is really important is that we as women, we hold each other to impossible standards as a culture, and that we need to give each other a break, and we need to support each other in our own dreams. And if this is the way you want to go, cool, let me help you out with that. You don't have to be like me. That there's all different expressions of femininity, and that they're
And feminism,
exactly. And how you stand up for yourself and how you express yourself, and that we're all very complicated, and that we should not hold ourselves in these impossible standards of beauty and conduct and, you know, whatever. To be a feminist, you can still be a mother that stays at home and raises her kids. You know, it still can be that. And that's an interesting point in both the book and this movie that I think is important.
And how did you then bring that to your own performance as the mom? You're often the mom. I heard you do an interview where you gave a really great quote, Leah, that I love so much, where you said that an agent told you earlier in your career.
Oh yeah.
You say it better than I can.
No, a very famous agent. She told me that here's your career, Leah: virgins, whores, and mothers. And then I realized that was why Back to the Future is such a great part, because I got to play a virgin, a whore, and a mother in all one movie. So, but I have been, and that is usually more close to the truth. You know, we're all of those things in some way. But this was not spoiler alert, this is not a very hard part for me. I mean, I am a mother, and I'm a mom of daughters.
I've
been playing mothers since I was 21 years old, of 17-year-olds. So I've been doing this gig for a bit. And so this wasn't the reason I took the movie is because I love and support women filmmakers, and I wanted to support Claire, and because I love the book, and I love making movies that I feel like are putting good things into the world. And so that's why I did the movie. But it wasn't a killer part for me. It was like, pretty easy. The real research was reading the book again. And that's even difficult, because you're like, but that scene was, you know. So I just really wanted to be there to support the young actresses. Yeah. That a few of them hadn't even done a movie before, a good portion of them. And to support those actresses and to support Claire's vision.
And yet, watching it this time and watching it as a modern telling, maybe watching it as a mom of teenagers myself now, I really saw Marmee in a different light. I saw her as this mom who is struggling on her own, mm-hmm. with limited finances while her spouse is away, really, mm-hmm. single parenting it, mm-hmm. dealing with illness, dealing with grief. Mm-hmm. Like, she carries a lot, mm-hmm. and she has to do it with love and support and dignity, kind of on her own.
Yeah. And I love that there's no boo-hoo scene for her. You know, she just, like us, like mothers, you find untapped strength you didn't think you had all the time. You know, just think of taking care of a toddler and you know, all the...
I'd rather not.
I know. The strength that you, the emotional strength that you take from a teenage daughter who's going, you know, saying something that's so like, and you can't be like, you just have to be like, oh, I get how you're feeling that way. But maybe you can't talk, maybe you shouldn't talk to me like that, you know. Like, there's such strength. Women are so strong, and you find the strength, you don't know where you get it from. And yes, I think Marmy has that. And I even imagine that time when your husband goes away to war and you, you know, chances of seeing him are slim to none. It's terrible.
Yeah, and this is, you know, this is again a story that women are repeating right now. Mm-hmm. It's not an old story. It's a very, very contemporary one. So speaking of all of that, by the way, you are a really fun YouTube rabbit hole to go down.
Really?
You really are, because it's like, oh, there she is on Dancing with the Stars, and there she is singing with Belinda Carlisle, and there she is singing from Book of Mormon with her daughters.
I was hoping you saw that. That's like my favorite thing ever on YouTube.
It's now mine as well.
How good is that?
So, yeah, so if you get a chance, look it up on YouTube.
Book of Mormon. Leah, Zoe, Maddie.
Oh, my God. So you do a lot of work with your daughters.
Well, and that's charity. I do a lot of singing for charity.
But aside from that, but like you did this film mm-hmm. where all three of you were not just, like, you were creators. You were mm-hmm. you directed it. Mm-hmm. Maddie was the composer mm-hmm. and the screenwriter, right? And mm-hmm. the star. And then Zoe is a co-star.
And a
producer. This is a family where you've all got your hands in a lot of different pots.
Well, and my daughters have the unique opportunity of being directed by both their parents. Both of my daughters have been directed by their mom and their dad. They both say they like me better. Sorry, honey.
But you win.
But you directed some kind of wonderful, so. Yes, it's a unique household that way. My mother was really creative. My mom held creating as like the closest thing to God. That was her church. That's being creative. That was the way you get to God in her world. And so I guess I kind of feel happy that, you know, my kids are really creative. It would have been hard for one of them to be born with no talent. It would have been hard for them. But it's an odd household, because not only are we creative, but there's a lot of business involved in the business of the industry of film, and so there's a lot of business. Howie and Zoe are the more business people. Maddie and I are a little more creative.
But you're someone who came into this industry as a very young woman, and you've seen it change. I just wonder, like, I see how your daughters are really exploring all of these different aspects of the business, mm-hmm. from behind the camera, from in front of it. And I wonder, like, how you instilled that in them. It must be, I imagine there were moments as a parent where you were thinking, do I want my daughters to go into this business, which can be really not great to women. Mm-hmm. Not great to young women in particular. What did you tell them?
Not great to humans.
Right, not great to humans.
Well, you know, it comes up all the time. I mean, I'm like, first of all, I had to live through all these movies coming out and bombing and the reviews and the nightmares and the not getting and the this and the that. I had to live through that. Then I had to live through it with my boyfriends, and then I had to live it through with my husband. Now it's my children. Now I have to... My heart has to break when things don't go well for them, or they don't get the part. Or Zoe's had a lot of things happen to her, and Maddie too. Like not Me Too stuff, but like not getting parts, or you know, movies getting shut down, or getting fired, and all these different things happen that break my heart for them. So that's really the hard part. Like, and it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop for me. It's not going to stop for my husband. It's not going to stop for them. But like someone said, my daughter said, a friend said, you know, you Deutsches are amazing. You just keep clawing your way. And we do. We just keep. And that was the best advice I got when I started. I was like, how do you make it in this business? And they were just looked at me straight in the eye and they said, don't give up.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with marriage. How do you stay married? You don't get divorced. You know what I mean? Right. That's the secret.
That's how you stay alive, I hear. You just don't die.
Those don't die. It's like, so there's a lot of joy, but even, you know, even in victories in our business, there's always There's very few kind of just perfect victories. It's always a nightmare. You know, people are always like, Back to the Future, wasn't that so much fun? Like, yeah, my really good friend got fired, and then another friend got fired, and then, you know, things, there's always really upsetting things, because it's...
Right, in creating things.
Yeah, it's always, there's something that's not, you know, perfect.
Right, even when you create a work that is loved and perfect, or just loved.
Loved, yeah.
It's like there's still...
The experience of watching it is one thing, but the experience of doing it is...
Living through it is another. And I want to ask you about that, because I know you've talked about your experiences as a young person and growing up into your roles in Hollywood. You are a person who married a director. Mm-hmm. You, to me, are a classic example, and you've talked about this, of... You know what appropriate behavior is in mm-hmm. Hollywood. You know what appropriate behavior is in a workplace, on a set. You know what it is because you've lived through it. Mm-hmm. You know the difference between a relationship that is consensual and appropriate yeah. and harassment. And yet we hear this argument now about, like, oh, feminism is trying to kill dating and feminism is trying to kill romance. And yet... I think your story is a great example of how, no, like, people who know how to behave appropriately, behave appropriately.
Yeah, it's very complicated. It's all very complicated, and I have great respect for how difficult it is that rules are that have been going on for centuries and millennium are somehow changing a little bit. And, you know, I have the utmost... sympathy for that, for people who are like, wait a second, everyone said that was okay, and you giggled, like, how dare you say you're upset about that? But it just always comes down to the golden rule for me. I'm like, really? We're all not imperfect, but really? And I remember really someone always saying, and I've always been thinking about that rape is not a crime of sex, it's a crime of power. And that's why I think it's so brutal, when people use their power against you. I woke up yesterday and Zoe was like, you're on the cover of Variety for this Survivors thing. And I was like, what did I say that made them, you know, I never... But what I did talk about was how when people stole my power by making sexual advances at me when I was doing an audition, they stole my power. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be strong. I didn't know how to get out of those situations without going, you know what I mean? And so all of a sudden I went from being able to be like, hey, baby, you know, which was the character I was supposed to be.
Right.
To being like,
right.
You know, and I... They stole my power for years and years and years. You know, and because I'm a pretty girl, or was.
I'm sitting very close to you.
Because I was a cute, pretty girl, I was always trying to, it's the power of that in our universe is so extreme that you are constantly trying to make men feel more comfortable around mm-hmm. you. And so I spent a lot of my time making people more comfortable around me. And that took away me, like me being able to say what I felt and what I wanted and, you know, being direct with people. And I've been so inspired by my daughters who don't have that experience for whatever reason, because of the work that we've done, our generation, I think you're younger than me, but our generation has done, and the work that society's starting to do, and maybe just they were more comfortable in their lives, that they weren't, you know, raised so poor or whatever as I was. But the fact that they weren't always trying to disarm people, mm-hmm. and the fact that they could say, don't do that to me, and the fact that they say, are you freaking kidding me? Don't do that. I'm worthy. I have talent.
But it's hard to get to that place. And it is, I think, for whenever I hear people saying, like, well, why didn't you speak up, or why didn't you say anything, or why were you giggling, or why were you smiling? Mm-hmm. It's like, do you understand that that's a protection? Mm-hmm. That is a way of making yourself safe.
Right.
In those kinds of situations.
Right.
That if you're smiling or you're pleasant or you're giggling, it's a way of telling someone who seems threatening to you
right.
that you're not going to put up a fight, it's all about protecting yourself.
Right, right.
Absolutely.
And really coming to terms with that is it makes me so sad.
Yeah.
You know, makes me so sad of all the things, all the opportunities I missed to stand up for myself. In all those, and it's fun to see that my daughters can do that for the most part. I'm sure they've been in situations that aren't so great.
Yeah, but I think just being able to have a vocabulary for it now,
yes.
right? Having words for it,
right.
And having an understanding, a place of understanding where it's like, it's actually not okay when somebody talks to you like that. And it's not fun. And to be those parents and to be those women in the world and men who say, like, you deserve to be treated with respect. And it's not just kidding around and it's not cute and it's not funny when somebody makes you feel that way.
But I have great love for men. I love the advocates that I've had. I've made a point of talking about the men in my life and my career, like Tom Cruise. That was really helpful to me and protective. And I understand how difficult it is, the rules of change. I think sex is so confusing for everybody. Hollywood and politics are really bad places for that because they're nerdy, not so great looking guys who, when they get power, they're going to stick it, you know, they're going to try to get laid in any way they can. And it's really, I get it. I get that it's confusing. I get sex is weird and interesting and odd. But I do like that there's a forum for it. I do like that we're talking about it in a way that's moving things forward.
And the fact that you bring up a very good point, Leah, which is very important, which is the fact that there are so many men in the world who are not dirtbags, who are really good, who are advocates, who support women, who want to work with them, says that the ones who don't, that's not normal.
It's not normal to want to get laid by torturing you want to get laid by, like, someone wants to have sex with you. That's sexy.
Right.
Like, come on. Like,
it's basic stuff.
Yeah, it is basic stuff.
It seems really obvious.
I know. It does. It's so embarrassing. Like, if I actually thought someone, you know, even if someone thinks I'm cute, I don't know. Anyway,
no,
I can't talk about it.
My husband said today, he's like, you know what I never had to do with a woman? Is like, put my hand over her mouth.
I know. Like, that image is just so terrifying.
That's not like something you have to do in the course of youthful hijinks. It really isn't, guys.
That never happened to me.
I love those women
talking about it like, oh, all boys are rapists.
No, it's really not.
I love men.
Right.
I love men. I've had bad experiences, like everything, but... And women can be horrible to women.
Sure.
You know, there are women who do that kind of things to other women. You know, there's men who do it to them. We're all in it together.
We should all
treat each other the way we want to be treated.
Speaking of being all in it together, I can't let you go without asking a question.
Sure.
You are a director.
Yes.
I heard recently you had put out a pitch for something new.
Oh, yes.
That is also a little something old.
It's my Howard the Duck pitch.
Leah, what's going to happen? I want this to be real.
Please. I do, too. I mean, I gave them a great pitch at Marvel. They said they really liked it, and maybe they call me back. And the fans love it. They love the idea. My point was that they didn't make Howard the... I know the fans. I've been the brand ambassador, whether I liked it or not, for 33 years for Howard the Duck. I know the fans. And... you know, I don't want to remake the movie by any stretch of the imagination. I want to make a new movie with Howard the Duck because it's different now. That was the first Marvel movie. There's a whole Marvel universe. Now Howard's the normal one in the Marvel universe. There's like all these crazy people in spider suits and Iron Man, and so Howard the Duck's the normal guy.
Howard's time has come again. What do we have to do to make it happen?
I don't know. I have them tweeting Marvel. Okay. I'm trying.
Okay.
But I just also would love to direct a, you know, expensive movie. My movie that I did, The Year of Spectacular Men, we made for like very, like my glasses budget, like, you know.
So just add a few more zeros at the end of that check.
Yes.
I love it. I would like to see that too. But in the meantime, while we await the return of Howard the Duck, you can see Little Women in theaters this week.
It's sweet. It's a sweet movie.
It's really sweet. It gave me the feels, even though I know the story, it got me again. Leah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
it's
you
been
so
an
much.
Absolute pleasure.
It's a pleasure to me.